Hello, America and our friends around the world. We're all partners in freedom. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. We're really glad you're with us. And we have Pastor Sam Arnold with us. He's our Latin American expert. Today we're going to be in the Caribbean America, if you will. And we're going to be talking about some dire events there and how they could come to bite us in the backside. Now, Michael Yon's still down there in the Darien Gap. He's interviewing with my friend Paul Preston a lot. And we've got issues there, and I have a feeling after Sam exposes all this, I'll be able to shed some light and find comparisons between what's going on in the Darien Gap and what Sam believes is going to be happening in the Caribbean. We're broadcasting you live from the Noble Gold Studios, and everyone's talking civil war. I'm not. I'm talking create the parallel economy. Let's get into it. Don't leave your money in the bank, leave operating capital. Because they're going to take it from you. The Dodd-Frank Law 2010 says they can. Let us help you save your retirement and save what's in your bank account minus operating capital you got to use to live everyday life. And I can send you a free information packet, davehodgesgold.com. That's davehodgesgold.com. No one will bug you. Or if you feel the urgency of the hour, you may call 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. And the Federal Trade Commission wants me to tell you there's no guarantees. We agree with that. It's too bad they didn't make Sam Bankman-Fried make the same guarantee, right? Now they've dropped all the charges against him, but I digress. 877-646-5347. Well, Sam, good to have you on. Happy New Year, my friend. Let's hope the Lord makes inroads in the planet because we lost ground last year. And right now, from what you're telling me in our pre-air discussion, things don't look any better for the moment. So I'm just going to leave it to you to jump into the entry point that you want to elaborate on. So be my guest.
Okay, everything's very hot with Iran. Yemen is an Iranian proxy. Hezbollah is an Iranian proxy. Hamas is to a degree an Iranian proxy. There's some friction there politically. But nevertheless, these Iranian proxies are all over the world. And Venezuela is a huge one in the Americas. This is a great nation. They got Sukhoi fighters. They've got at least the S-300 Russian air defense system. And they've got Iranian missiles, drones, and tactics. It was the Iranians that kept them afloat for the through the Trump sanctions. And now the Venezuela situation is really hot. The United Kingdom sent a warship to the Caribbean to visit their former colony and ally, Guyana, which Venezuela has decided they're just going to take two-thirds of. And so the world is kind of seeing that the natives are restless somewhere in the Americas. But I want to bring this home that Venezuela is an Iranian proxy, and that when war kicks off with Iran, immediately, this situation will go hot in the Caribbean. I cannot see it any other way. And so that could happen tonight. It could happen anytime in the very near future. There was just a very high-profile assassination in Beirut, Lebanon. Today, the Israeli Air Force is going on high alert, all their aircraft are ready to scramble at any moment. Israel's even pulling some troops out of Gaza. So they may be planning as a nation to have a serious conflict on their northern border with an Iranian proxy. When that happens, it's going to get hot in the Americas. So we'll fill all that in. Who are the British? What ship has come? Is all the Spanish language press saying about it, which is really the shocker. And I covered it on my Living by the Sword radio show that just broadcast into Guyana, Venezuela, and the Caribbean. You can find that on gospelgunslingers.com and hear what the Limeys are hearing bobbing in the Caribbean on the HMS Trent.
That's funny. Is I want to back up just to something you said. Venezuela, Iran, Venezuela's proxies for Iran. Is the connection that binds them, is it oil? Do they have some kind of oil agreement worked out? And is it part and parcel to the BRICS?
That's part of it. Incidentally, the new Argentine president, Javier Milei, sent out a letter that Argentina will not be joining the BRICS after the prior leftist government was in with both feet. They jumped right in on the BRICS because they need a savior for their peso that's devolved, from 17 to the dollar to 700 or 800 at present. So that's a big deal. that's going on right there. But in Venezuela, it's really bigger than the BRICS, because the BRICS is about nations that kind of want to build a civil and monetary order. And when we're dealing with jihadis, we're dealing with agitators, we're dealing with suicide bombers, we're dealing with Al-Aqsa flood terrorists. And so they want to, they're going to make a run for the end zone anytime they get their head and get an opportunity to do it. And the connections between Iran and Venezuela are very well documented, but you have to dig just a little bit. So let me just throw a few things on the table. When Trump sanctions had crippled Maduro's regime in Venezuela, and when Juan Guaido's government in exile was recognized by 50 nations and was actually gaining some traction, and there were even commando raids like Operation Gideon that you and I reported on, that some Americans went in. Two of those Americans might have been in the prisoner exchange from the week before last. We don't know. Those Green Berets might have come home. It was the Iranians that kept Venezuela afloat, kept Maduro's regime afloat. And there's two main ways that they did that that we know about. One, the illegally mined gold, an environmental catastrophe that Maduro extracted from his jungles, was sent out on Iranian military aircraft. So the Iranians fence his blood gold out of Venezuela. That's one way that the regime stayed afloat. Two, the Venezuelan oil infrastructure was so broken down that they couldn't even refine their own crude or get much of it pumped to Maracaibo Lake to be shipped out. And so it was the Iranians that sent two separate flotillas, I believe there were five cargo ships each, of refined gasoline all the way from Iran, which means they went around the Arabian Peninsula through all these conflict zones, past Bab al-Mandeb, and then sailed the Mediterranean and the Atlantic and brought refined gasoline to Maduro to keep his regime afloat. Then Biden gets in, says, "Hey, promise that you'll have an election in 2024, and kind of, give some, throw some slack in the reins of the opposition within Venezuela, and we'll relax these sanctions." So now, if you're driving down the highway in the United States, you're burning Venezuelan crude, some of the dirtiest in the world.
That amazing.
So
Wow.
all their infrastructure is rebuilt right now, and they're flush with cash, ready for an intervention, ready for a war of conquest on their neighbor Guyana. And there are a lot of reasons why that is going to totally spiral out of control,
Well, but before you go
because there are
there,
three.
before you go to the spiral, tell me what they're gaining by invading. What are they after?
It's far bigger than what you see in the news. Okay, the argument is out there that there were major oil and gas finds in the Essequibo region of Guyana. That's true. It's so true that Guyana is the second fastest growing, and I believe now is the number one fastest growing economy in the world, which is great because it was an impoverished nation. It was communist for decades, which is why Jim Jones's Jonestown was built there. And again, if you're really interested, go listen to the last three broadcasts of Living by the Sword, because we break all that down in great detail of what happened under the communist government. They, in 2020, Trump's last year, Guyana made a shift back to a government by the people. Their president's Muslim, but he's building his nation, he's putting his nation first. And now that they've got this oil and gas money, they've got their nation's growing. It's coming out of poverty. So it's a legitimate argument that, okay, Venezuela wants those reserves. But it's not only that. It's that they're an Iranian proxy, and they want to, they're going to wage jihad. It's as simple as that.
Is it going to be jihad
And
where? It's going to be on our soil in Guyana. What do you see?
okay, it's going to be against American interests. Everything that you're seeing in the Darien Gap, everything you're seeing with a migrant invasion, those are gray war tactics up to an actual pulling of the trigger. And when the trigger is pulled, it could happen a lot of ways. Saboteurs could be activated within the USA. That at some point will happen. Other nations could attack the continental USA. North Korea just very recently said that they would, that war is inevitable, which is very strong wording from Kim Jong-un. But we can also see US interests come under attack. We can also see Western nations come under attack. And that's what is about to happen in the Caribbean. Okay, Babel-Mandeb closing is something that affects every American. It's still on the other side of the world. When we're talking about the Caribbean, that is in our backyard. That is right next to the Panama Canal. This is a critical, critical issue if war comes to the Americas,
This is
if
why.
open jihad and open conflict comes to the Americas. All the same weapons that you're seeing in Yemen are in Venezuela, maybe more.
Yeah, you just connected another dot, and I don't know if you realize you did it, Sam. I'm in contact with American expats in Panama, and the Chinese are instigating problems there on a large scale. It's led to a national protest, been going on for over a month. It kind of ebbs and flows now as time has worn on and people want a sense of normality. But there's still hostile feelings. China came in to assist in mining and they took over mining and then took other liberties, and the people are upset. And the potential effect on the Panama Canal is to cut down through goods and services coming through there, and we get 40% of our imports in one way or another through the Panama Canal.
I did a whole show on the way that the Panama Canal has been defended through the 1800s, through the 1900s, especially in World War II. We had 16-inch battleship guns from Iowa class battleships, from the forge works that were built for those, that were installed in shore batteries all around both ends of the Panama Canal to prevent, even a what do they call those great ships of Germany? Even a battleship assault, there was an intent to repel that. Of course, now we're in the missile age, which means greater range and greater firepower. And that means that if the Venezuelan coast of the Caribbean becomes a ballistic and cruise missile launch site like Yemen is, we won't be able to use the Panama Canal. Already in Guyana, Lloyd's of London has labeled it a war zone, a whole war conflict zone, which means that it's very expensive and difficult to get insurance for any ship going in and out of there. This is a de facto blockade. So, see, it's been going on for weeks in the Red Sea and Babel-Mandeb. This is how it began before cargo companies, one after another, said, okay, we're just not going to go there. The insurers started to raise the rates. That's already begun in Guyana before a shot is fired.
What's the impact on the American economy right now?
Well, right now there's nothing. The impact is that it could happen, that the Panama Canal could be shut down, and that a massive war could break out. You see, it's not going to be just Venezuela and Guyana. There are three Guyanas, Suriname and French Guiana, which is French territory. It's Europe, it's the European Union in South America. There are calls from communist commentators demanding that Lula da Silva, the president of Brazil, the evil dictator, we've reported on him before, that he must liberate French Guiana, the last colony on the South American continent. Those calls are out. All of it's documented on my show. If you're interested, you can find all the links and the sources, who said what. But all three Guyanas are about to go to war. There's French officers, French generals drilling with Suriname, drilling with Guyana. There's a tripartite defense pact between all three Guyanas. Guyana, English speaking, Suriname, which is Dutch speaking in the middle, and on the east, French Guyana, which is French sovereign territory. That's why when the British sent this warship down, everything hit the fan. It's a little bitty ship, but they are in a huff about it.
I thought they overreacted. There's no real threat.
You thought the British overreacted, or
No,
the
I think that
Guyanese,
the Guyanese, I think it's an overreaction.
or the Venezuelans?
Yeah, I mean, the Venezuelans, with regard to Guyana and the British sending a ship there, the ship would have a hard time sinking a toy boat. And it's not a threat militarily. This is more about propaganda posturing.
Maduro needed a reason to break his handshake agreement with the president of Guyana, because they met in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, which is in the rotating chair of CELAC for this year. They met there. Lula da Silva, I believe, even showed up, or sent an embassage. And they kind of made a handshake deal that they're not going to solve this issue militarily, which even that is duplicitous on its face, because both of them say they own the territory. The only reason I believe that the Venezuelans did not invade is the U.S. immediately made flybys over the Essequibo, over Guyanese territory. U.S. warplanes. They generally do that supersonic, to let everybody know that there's fast movers in the area. That's the reason that the troops didn't actually cross the border. That caused Maduro to stumble and lose the initiative, because he had already had this sham referendum. He had already done a propaganda blitz that made it look like the people of Venezuela were with him. That's really not the case, as near as I can tell. But when he was at the just ready to storm across the border, it was the US flybys that shut it down. So that caused everything to kind of go into a limbo. And Maduro needs to go back on the attack. He wants to go back on the attack. And so the provocation of this British warship is exactly what he needed to do what you said and renew the propaganda blitz. If you go up to Twitter, now you can go search Gospel Gunslingers on Twitter, and that'll go to mine. And under replies, I follow the HMS Trent, which is the warship that's in the Caribbean. And they actually published, "Hey, we're here. We're in the Caribbean. We actually took a swim." They don't get to do that in the North Sea, So they're real happy that they got to take a swim and go to Barbados and have Christmas dinner and receive some dignitaries on the ship. But all of the replies from the Venezuelans, they have a very advanced propaganda apparatus and bot farms and paid commentators to go in. And so they started to do this. There's probably 100 comments on there, and one of them is video of the Iranians backing all of their gunboats into the boat ramp, putting them to sea. And they've got all these lightweight patrol boats that are fitted with anti-ship missiles. They can go on a trailer and be pulled by a semi-tractor, and they were just backing them down the ramp one after another, and they had covers over their missile tubes. They had bolt-on missile launchers on these fast patrol boats. So this is all Iranian technology, and they put it to sea immediately. And he put his war planes, he put his war ships out in the Caribbean and started steaming around, flying around. So this is what he needed to get back on the offensive. And the British gave him that. But the British are also making a point that they are in on this conflict if he makes a move. And so is France, which has a nuclear supercarrier, the only one in the world outside the United States until the Chinese one finishes sea trials. And the USA, France, and Britain have all committed that if Maduro makes a move, we're going to have a major war there on the northern coast of South America. And if we lose the initiative, you know where the nearest port is that we can actually offload troops and equipment in South America? Montevideo, Uruguay, over 4,000 nautical
Yeah,
miles.
that's at the bottom of the continent.
Right. So this could be Dunkirk all over again. We could get Western friendly militaries pushed off the continent. All three Guyanas together have less population than the Gaza Strip.
Well, how do you see this playing out, Sam?
I see it as being a tinderbox. And I just want America to know that this is not a turnover in one little banana republic, that this is global war. And everyone has promised that they're going to do it. The Iranians have promised, and remember that behind them is China. The Venezuelans have promised. The communists of South America are demanding liberation. And you've got these three great powers, France, Britain, and the United States, that have all made a strong statement that they are going to come to the aid of these nations and resist the Venezuelans. All it takes is one shot, one launch. It's actually a good thing that the British didn't send a bigger ship, because they just sent this little one and everybody's livid about it. The fact is, there's a lot of places that aircraft can come in from land. The Dutch island of Curaçao, 40 miles off the Venezuelan coast. The Dutch know that their holdings in the Caribbean are under threat. We have US bases in Central America. We still have access to Colombia, but with Petro as the president, Colombia's
It's a joke.
just a shade away from being
Yeah.
totally communist.
Yeah, exactly. It's a
You
joke.
know,
Yeah, exactly.
he kicked out all the moderates the moment he took the presidency. There was a broad coalition, you know, that helped him to get into power. He kicked out all the moderates and just went hardline communist. And that's
Let's
what's up against the Darien Gap. The
okay,
Darien Gap is the Colombia-Panama border. So right now, we're seeing an axis of evil in the Americas. Venezuela, Colombia, and Bolivia are all neighbors. And they would like to go ahead and push what's left of free government out of Ecuador and out of Peru. But first, they have to get the U.S. off the continent. That's why this is important.
where does the U.S. have a presence?
In the Guyanas, we have a
Direct,
base in the Guyanas.
directly in the country.
In Guyana, yes. And there have been high-level talks with the president of Guyana that the U.S. is going to back them up on this. The U.S. has been pretty quiet, but then the statements have come out. What's interesting is these great powers acted like they were going to sit this out. France acted like they were going to be cool. Britain said they were going to sit it out. And then they sent a warship. That warship weighed anchor probably on the Thames the day before the Sunday, December 7th election. You know, the referendum, the sham election, the vote five times yes election, where Maduro got supposedly the voice of the people to support the invasion. The day before that happened, when you and I were broadcasting on it, this little ship weighed anchor in London, sailed 7,000 miles. Now it's there, and they are livid.
Wow. Well, do you think there's going to be a trigger incident that sets this off, a false flag? How do you see this going down?
At this point, it doesn't require a false flag. It just requires a pushing of a pawn. It just requires an attack. This ship has been known to carry a contingent of Britain's famous 4-2 commando,
Oh, really?
which, yes, this is their green berets. This is, you know, back in the day when the idea of commandos was new, that's where they draw their roots from. And They did great exploits in World War II in enemy territory, taking down radar bases on the occupied continent and paving the way for huge bombing raids, etc. And so the fact that that unit is associated with this ship and maybe doing push-ups on the deck of the HMS Trent is really disturbing, because that unit is the one that would make a sabotage raid against Venezuelan, whether they make a raid against oil interests or against the government. It would be the unit that would make a decapitation raid if somebody was going to parachute into Miraflores Palace and just attack Maduro and take him out. That's the unit that would do it. And that may be present on the HMS Trent. They have been in times past. And definitely that unit is the one that would train the Guyanese. And in our own military, their homologo, their counterparts, the Green Berets, this is what they do, is train indigenous forces from the
Yeah.
Mountain Yard to all around the world. So the Venezuelans are pissed about that. Even a small ship with a small contingent, they could go in with a helicopter and begin to prepare the defenses of Guyana in
Okay.
such a way that it would really hurt the Venezuelans when they make their assault.
Do you see the British using tactical nukes?
I'm more concerned about the French in that respect, in all truth. The French are pissed off because they've lost, I'm painting with a broad brush, but all their colonies in Africa, which were decolonized long ago, but they became Francophone and Francophile friendly nations. This is where France gets its uranium for their many nuclear plants. France was selected in the aftermath of World War II to be the European nation that was the steward of nuclear weapons. France. Of course, we weren't going to give them to the Germans
Course.
when the blood was still hot after that. There's a lot of American nuclear weapons at bases in Germany. And so France was selected as being the one. So France has ICBMs, they have boomers, intercontinental ballistic missile submarines, and they have the only other nuclear supercarrier in the world outside of the USA. Which, by the way, does cross-decking with American ships. It's a Cato Bar carrier, the only other one of those in the world. You know, they have catapult launch and barrier arrest recovery. All the Soviet carriers, the English carriers, they're all ski jump carriers. The Indian carriers, the Chinese carriers, except for the new one that's in sea trials, which is nuclear powered also. It's a Cato Bar carrier. Other nations have had them. The Brazilians had one. The French have that. And so if France goes nuclear, that is what could really happen. And we need to remember that, okay, aside from not liking Macron, I don't like him either, aside from the problems in their government, aside from their brutal repression of the yellow vests and the farmers and everything else, we need to understand that the French are really ticked off, and that they're sending their generals across from French Guyana to Suriname and to Guyana to shake hands. You know, I still haven't been able, listen, if you're a journalist out there, go get your hands on, research the Tripartite Defense Pact, because it's out there. I have not gotten the text of it. It's just been announced in the news that it exists. This is from 2021. And so it's post-Trump that these three nations are going to stick together. They made their turnovers back to Western values, and that's why the commies want them off the continent. This could just be a hellacious and horrific war, and it could absolutely go nuclear.
Where would the nuclear response come from? Not the French
I think
initiating it, but where would it come from on the other side?
there have long been rumors. You should really ask Steve Quayle about that, because he has spoken at great length about the existence of Eastern Bloc nuclear weapons in Venezuela. So he would be the one to press for details on that. Back in the day, back in the Jonestown days of 1979, there were Soviet nuclear weapons in Guyana. And I trust the source. So I broke all that down. If you're interested, just go to gospelgunslingers.substack.com. And on there are the latest podcasts for the Living by the Sword show. And it's all documented on who said they were there, what was done to make the change. In a nutshell, the whole Guyanese Kool-Aid thing, that was a CIA experiment. And then it later became the cover for a U.S. commando operation to destroy those Soviet missiles. So it's happened before that there have been nuclear threats from that Caribbean coast of South America and the possibility of a nuclear response against those threats. It was solved with commando raids, and now the commandos are doing push-ups off the coast, and the Venezuelans are pissed. My history repeats itself.
Yeah, I would agree. The degradation, they'll stop at nothing. Okay, list the top reason in your opinion, because I've heard a couple, that Venezuela wants to occupy Iran. Is it a proxy takeover? Is this for China or somebody else? How do you see this?
Yes, that Venezuela wants the Essequibo to initiate Dunkirk 2024. This is their pretext for starting a war of aggression. Their pretext is in 1899, this land was stolen from us and we're taking it back.
Okay.
The reality is they want those, and the communist commentators have said this, we want Western colonies off of our continent. So that's what the Lula da Silva sycophants are screaming for. Yes, it's China. Yes, it's the one world government. But the trigger event is when Iran really gets skippy. At this point, Iran has not thrown its full weight into conflict, whether behind the Yemenis or the Syrians or whatever. At this point, and especially after today's assassination in Beirut, you're going to see the Iranians start to make aggressive moves. And Maduro is a proxy. So it's all about them making a war of aggression. Listen, if you're out there watching, it's easy to consider that everything's a false flag, that the nations of the world don't want to be in conflict, that all world leaders are puppets. You need to know that as gospel gunslingers, we see certain nations as making a resistance against that. We see certain leaders as being chosen by the people. We see that a lot of even entire nations are standing up, and even the communist controlled nations, even Joe Biden bumbles the right direction some of the time. And
Yeah,
that's the hand of God at work. We need to remember that it's God that's all powerful. And as conflict breaks out around the world, this is where we have an opportunity to set things straight in our own communities. And it's a cause of great joy, as Purim was in the book of Esther. Go look at it. I'm excited.
yeah, I'm apprehensive. I'm looking at it from a strictly American standpoint. We will intervene. That means we'll have a draft, and that's going to cause hell on wheels.
Yes, and that's part of the message that we're trying to get out, is that we're on the edge of a major war in the Americas, not in the Middle East, not in the sandbox, not in the Taiwan Strait even, which that's a whole other event that's just waiting for somebody to blink. 6 a.m. every day, the warships and the warplanes are out there testing, probing the Taiwanese defenses. So someday it will happen, and that's going to get big too. but that's halfway around the world. What we're talking about right now is in the Americas and one nation away from the Darien Gap.
Why do you think the globalists have chosen to infect us with all these illegals?
It's a gray war tactic. They fully intend to cause chaos any way they can. And now we're seeing a different category of people coming across. We're seeing the elites of China coming across, landing on aircraft right up next to the US border. And I observed that myself and posted the picture. And so in the beginning, it was just to bleed the welfare system, bleed the education system, bleed, blur the lines of citizenship of who's an American and who's not. And then came in more military age males, which are obviously to cause chaos.
Chinese are
This is
big,
how.
big time on this. I just did a show on with Paul Preston on this. We have photos and videos, Sam, and these are military. When they're standing in a line talking to Border Patrol, a lot of them are at the military at ease position. Normal
Yes, they
civilians
are. I
don't,
saw a report on that.
they don't stand that way. That's not how they react. We're in
All their
big.
backpacks are laid out in front exactly the same.
Exactly. And it's the same size and they put them down by their feet. I mean, and it's about 2 months before, Sam, when I published that, I saw the same thing with Middle Eastern men coming through Eagle Pass. Same thing. 18 to 35, carrying one backpack. You see the regular immigrants, they got hordes of this and this sticking in the air. These people, they were efficient and they were going rapidly, like they were marching with purpose. What's this mean for America?
It means that there will be an outbreak of violence. They're not coming to buy the white picket fence next to yours
Yeah,
so
that's
that
right.
their kids can play with your kids. I mean, do we need to state the obvious? What happened in the Al-Aqsa flood? And listen, there's a lot of misinformation about that. If you haven't read the New York Times article, Screams Without Words, it's time to look at that. It's time to look at that and to realize that Israel allowed migrant workers who were specially vetted to come through the fence every day to go to work on the kibbutzim in fields, doing maid and cleanup work, doing yard work. And then it was those people that helped Hamas draw up very detailed plans for where the sentry stands, what the security system is, what is the emergency protocol to sound the alarm. It was those people that gave the information, and many of them were like the Viet Cong barber on American bases in Vietnam that came and actually did the atrocities. Everyone needs to understand
Okay.
that the rapes that are happening in Scandinavia, it's all coming to the USA. And it's only restrained right now because there has not been a clear signal given to make the attack. Expect an Al-Aqsa flood nationwide in the USA. Everyone's a little bit tired, Dave, of you and me and others crying wolf about a Red Dawn invasion. Now, what we're talking about today is another facet of that, that there could be a major war in the Americas, which will then have its own cascading effects. But of course, along with that, all of the saboteur cells within the US will be activated, of course.
Yeah, and there's a lot. Christopher Wray, when he testified before Congress, he said, we estimate 80,000 terrorists here crossing the southern border. And they put all these cities on the watch list for terrorism. He was just stoking the fear. He has no solutions, doesn't want to have a solution. Would you agree, given what we've seen in the House impeachment inquiry and testimony before that, Biden's complicit in the downfall of this country?
Sure, it's Biden that is stuck with Mayorkas, and so many rhinos resisted the impeachment of Mayorkas that it was stonewalled successfully. And so not only is Biden the problem, you've got rhinos that are the problem, and they're the same rhinos that want Nikki Haley in and Boots from De Sanctimonious, et cetera, et cetera. And my own Iowa governor is one of the very biggest ones. The Iowa caucus is coming very soon. I wish I could only be there, but we all know that I'm not allowed in Iowa.
There's a price upon your head, my friend.
Well,
Okay, my Michael Yon is, and my I'm getting this from my expat sources in Panama. 3 months ago, there were 60 buses coming a day through Panama. Today,
it's up to 100.
it's over 200.
Wow.
And that's both Michael Yon telling Paul Preston that, and my sources telling me that. Over 200. We know how they get here. How do you see this unfolding in America? Have you given any thought to kind of terrorism they're going to do? What kind of takedown are they going to do? The grid? What do you think?
There were a lot of explosions in New York City in the past couple days
Yeah, exactly.
and power outages. There's no limit. But it's kind of like the Democrats being in power. It's so much fun for them to be in charge and to strengthen their position that a lot of times they don't actually push the pawn. But Maduro will. They'll do it for him. This is the way I see this migrant flood. As long as they're flooding in and it's not being stopped by anyone, why would they kill the golden goose? The communists and the globalists of the world are living large. They're just flooding in more and more and more invaders, and everyone's so comfortable with the stasis. But Maduro will. He will push the pawn because he's got an election that he cannot win. Let me tell you one very interesting thing out of the Spanish language media. Again, there's a fuller breakdown on the radio show, gospelgunslingers.com. The opposition party, this candidate, I always mix her up with Mary Chuy, the Mexican opposition candidate, but there is a lady candidate in Venezuela that Biden was like, okay, this is a viable resistance candidate within Venezuela, so he relaxed the sanctions so that she could have an opportunity to maybe run. Her party is the PUD. That's the union that she's on top of to, politically, the Union of Political Parties. The PUD came out and made statements against the British warship.
Why?
So they're agreeing with Maduro, which is exactly the consolidation of power that he wanted with the Essequibo invasion to begin with.
Well, obviously, boy, you need a scorecard to keep up with this.
I love the
Let me
quote from
guess.
Apocalypse Now. In Vietnam, the BS piled up so fast you needed wings to stay above it.
Okay, so Sam, I'm kind of hearing you say this. We're going to have massive domestic terrorism, probably to tie us up here, and then there's going to be all hell breaking loose militarily in South and Central America. Is that accurate?
Probably the other way around, but yes.
What do you mean the other way around?
Probably the hell will break loose in an actual war in South America first. And our own shipping, the stranglehold on shipping that's happening right now in the Red Sea, will also happen at the Panama Canal. And don't forget that the nations bordering can also shut down the Cape Horn and the Cape of Good Hope. The traffic is going around Africa now. Dave, you and I have been reporting for years that the Chinese We're digging in like ticks in South Africa, Zambia, and surrounding nations. You think that the China there's not enough Chinese missiles to prevent traffic going around Africa?
You think that's the purpose?
Yes, to shut down global trade. And I've reported on Chinese land ownership on the edges of the Panama Canal, but not only that, the Straits of Magellan and the Drake Passage. The Straits of Magellan go between the islands of Tierra del Fuego at the tip of South America. It's a much safer passage than the stormy Drake Passage, which going between Tierra del Fuego and Antarctica is very harrowing for anyone who's done it. If you know a real mariner who's been around there,
Well,
they'll tell you that
it's almost impassable.
it's rough.
Yeah.
And even in with modern ships and modern times, it's not only a very long journey, but it's harrowing. And that is without cruise missile and ballistic missile launch sites. So this is why I've put out calls. Now that Javier Milei is in power, if he's the real deal, if he's what he claims to be, we need an immediate defense pact to go in and remove the Chinese landowners along the Straits of Magellan and the Drake Passage, as well as in Panama, and immediately install the new U.S. anti-ship missile batteries that just went into production. Who's
I don't.
Charlie Flynn?
Yeah, go ahead.
Charlie Flynn just announced it a month ago. We have a few of these batteries, shore batteries, that fire naval anti-ship missiles. One of them may be hypersonic in the latest iteration. All of it's on my radio show, week by week.
Yeah,
We're
a lot.
broadcasting into places.
Michael Yon
It's
says
funny.
something that's coming too. I totally agree with what you're saying.
Michael Yon actually sits in the bushes. He's a Green Beret, you know. He actually sits in the bushes with his camera running, waiting for the Chinese to walk by at 2 or 3 in the morning. It's on his Twitter. You can see it. And he speaks to him in English, and he speaks to him in Mandarin. And you can see who the guy is, what he looks like, how he speaks, what he'll answer and what he won't answer. It's undeniable. And I'll tell you a little secret. There's some dignitaries going to visit there.
No.
No. Now, nobody will talk about the details, but I'll just tell you right now that Chuck Holton and Michael Yon and a lot of people whose names you would recognize are very soon going to conduct a personal investigation of said areas. And I hope it doesn't go down like Congressman Leo Ryan,
What do you mean
the
by
only
said areas?
Congress.
Sam, slow down. Go back to said area. What do you mean by said areas?
The Darien Gap and the Panama Canal Zone and maybe the north of Colombia.
I was thinking you meant spin-off activities that are nefarious.
You're going to have high-powered elected officials, not Mayorkas, not swamp creatures, not heads of bureaus that get called in to Capitol Hill and then play ring around the rosy and beat around the bush. Elected officials. And I hope it does not go down like Congressman Leo Ryan when he in 1979 in the congressional break right around Thanksgiving went to Guyana to see what the hell was going on with Jim Jones and those so many American citizens that were reportedly being held against their will. And he was, I believe to this day, the only U.S. congressman shot to death in the line of duty in the history of our nation. So I really hope it doesn't go like that. But you can pray for Michael Yon and Hodson Holton and that their tour goes well. You're
Man, I'm just trying to imagine here how bad it's going to get. Sam, I'm still of the opinion that they'll try to neutralize our responsibility. I think the war is going to break out first there, not here. How
in
do you
South America.
how do you respond to that?
I agree. because that is their effort. And the upside of that is it could awaken a sleeping giant. The upside of that is that when coup is counted, when war breaks out, whether it's on the Arabian Peninsula or on the American continents, the American people might stand up as one man and determine we are going to deal with this. We're going to deal with the Chinese trying to take over the world. We're going to deal with the Mohammedans trying to take over the world. If America stands up as one man, we can be a force to be reckoned with. It's
Problem
all the
is,
division and
yeah,
the
exactly. There you go.
fractious
Go ahead.
nature. It's
It's
the fractious nature of America today that in that therein lies our weakness.
you answered my next question. When we look at this situation, do you have an estimate, a timetable?
I was a little amazed that our supersonic flybys caused Maduro to lose the initiative a month ago, almost a month ago. Only December 7th was the referendum. So this situation has been hot for less than a month, but there's a point where Maduro lost the momentum, he lost the initiative. And in the military, especially in the Marines, it's all about the initiative and putting the enemy on their heels. That's what has changed with this British warship, is Maduro is back on the he's back on the offensive. He's got the ball now. And what that means is things could go south at any moment.
Yeah, I think I'm getting a
Especially
psycho. I'm having tremendous headaches here, and I'll tell you why.
with the provocation against the Iranians.
Well, there you go. And this is why I believe it's going to start here with terrorism to negate our responsibility.
If they're smart, then that's what they would do. But at the same time, everybody's living large. You know, the power goes out, the light goes out, the lights go out, the EBT cards go off, the internet goes off. All of a sudden, there's other chaotic factors that affect the comfort of a lot of Democrat voters, including the millions of illegals.
Well,
And
you think
so
illegals are a problem now, you ain't seen nothing yet with the terrorists that they're
they
doing.
kind of have to be kept comfortable in their hotel with their gravy train and their Uber cars and their Meals on Wheels so that they don't become real Americans. A lot of them would.
That's why they're
In the
sequestered. That's
past,
a good point. That's why they're sequestered.
a
That's
lot
a
of them have.
really good point. Yeah. That's an outstanding point, Sam. Okay, well, listen, I agree with you. I'm getting Michael Yon secondhand through Paul Preston because Paul's had him on three or four times a show. And I think it's really interesting that what you're saying matches a lot of what Michael Yon's telling Paul and what he said on the show. Sam, go ahead.
He and I keep in contact, and you know, I put out in my an end of the year letter to some people that have donated to the Gospel Gunslingers before. I said, "Hey, look at this. Michael Young gave me a retweet, and here's the guy that and I really appreciate him doing that." And I said, "Now here's the guy that he gave a retweet just before or just after me, and I concede that his tweet was more interesting than mine, but what was it really 100 times more interesting?" Because if you look, it got a 100 times the traction that mine got. And so it
Well,
just shows how censored we are, Dave,
yeah,
that you
exactly.
are,
Bingo,
I am,
bingo.
that even
Absolutely.
Michael Yon is.
No question. Sam,
Listen, you can follow.
we got about 30 seconds left, and I want to give you a chance. You've mentioned your show a couple times. Tell us how we can follow you.
GospelGunslingers.com. I also have a Substack, GospelGunslingers.substack.com. Please follow. I want to be your pastor and your missionary. And if you have a dollar, I need it badly.
Yeah, while it's still in existence. That's a whole
Please.
nother topic for another time. Sam, I'm telling you, I know of incidences in small towns where the cartels are going to the doors of people. The crap has already started here. I can't I can tell you off air. I can't say this on air. Anyway, on that note, my friend, we are flat out of time. I want to thank you so much for coming on, Sam, and we'll follow up on this, I'm sure. Now I got to go find some Advil and get rid of this headache, but and you made it a lot worse, my friend. All right, we'll talk to you later.
God bless, Dave.
Bye-bye.